My name is Sandra. We live in a hotel, but my little brother cries a lot. I think he wants to go home.
When a child is born into homelessness, the damage caused could last a lifetime. But you can help. Please call Focus Ireland at 1850 204 205 and give whatever you can.
Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves, and today we're back talking to an old friend who is again involved in so many altruistic deeds that this time of year, it's great to revisit and have a chat with. And I'm not meaning Martin, because you do very little altruistic.
Oh, that's so unfair. My life is lived for others.
Yeah, like you think giving someone a retweet is as good as it. Yeah, that's what I gave him a retweet. What more does he want? No, we are joined by Greg. Graham Clifford. Graham, listeners will remember, is involved with many initiatives, including what we're going to speak about first of all this morning is the Sanctuary Runners. And Graham, it's been a big year for the Sanctuary Runners in terms of visibility and profit, considering, you know, it's a global pandemic and things have been a lot more in people's minds. What you guys do, you see the blue tops out and about everywhere now. They're all across the country and people are doing it. But if listeners are unaware, do you want to just give them, first of all, a little bit of an idea who you guys are and what initiatives you're doing at the moment?
Yeah, well, as you said, it's been a tough period, I suppose, since the pandemic started for everybody, guys. But, you know, especially for people in direct provision who at the start in particular were totally isolated, but still congregated together. So when told that this thing spreads quite easily from one person to another and keep your distance, it's pretty hard if you're in a direct provision center. But we kept it going. Sometimes during the pandemic so far, we've been able to come together to run normally. Sometimes we've been able to come together to run in pods, and other times we've been running virtually, which is where we are now. So the Sanctuary Runners, basically, it's fairly simple. It uses running, jogging and walking to bring people together regardless of their background. So if especially asylum seekers, refugees and those in wider Irish society. So basically it's a bridge to bring people together in a nice positive way. And it's good for the head, good for the body. And what you said there, Tony, was really significant. The visibility of it's really important. There's a lot of initiatives that are kind of hidden away, you know, and they're kind of, aren't you great, crack? We try to be loud and proud and visible. And by doing that, you know, you get people who may never have spoken to an asylum seeker before or known much about direct provision, you know, going home, going on Google or whatever and finding out more, and then the next week joining us. So we have, in terms of our Irish Sanctuary Runners, like, it's brilliant. We have people from every walk of life, farmers, guards, plumbers, CEOs, students, hairdressers, the whole shebang, young, old, all different abilities. I don't know how many nationalities we have in the group now. We've over 4,000 people. So it's just amazing. And it's really a beautiful thing, really, you know, and it's so simple.
It is. And it's a great idea. It's a fabulous idea for people to get to know each other, Graham.
Yeah, and also, Martin, to kind of, charity is good and is important, obviously, but charity can lead to different tiers, you know. I'm the giver, you're the receiver. To me, that's not sustainable as a positive societal kind of impact. What you want, really, I suppose, is to say, we're on the same level, and I respect you as you. I'm not feeling pity for you. I just want to share some time together. You can help me, I can help you. Let's just do it. And I think that's a new approach, I think, Martin, that maybe you often don't get. Like, it's really mad. Even our view in Ireland of integration is bonkers. You know, we see integration as assimilation. We love to see the black kid with the GA jersey or the little Asian girl playing the accordion. That's not integration as such. You know what I mean? It can be if it works the other way as well. But, it doesn't, yeah. You know,
we often point out on the podcast that there's a big difference between integration and inclusion. Yeah. When we mention integration, it can be assimilation as opposed to inclusion, which adds to culture, which is evolving, adds to the strands of how, and it actually adds to all of our life's experience better. So I do think that's And that's very apparent when you see the stuff that the sanctuary runners do. And I say that because obviously Martin gives out to me, but I'm a runner anyway.
I know so, that well. I've seen
the bear chest. But just on in terms of the stuff you guys are doing a few things at the moment. I will plug. Obviously, you've got a range of clothing with Jim Plus Coffee or and Jim and Coffee and they're actually splitting the proceeds with the sanctuary runners as well, and they're available in shops nearly all across the country at this stage. So that's one really good initiative, really a positive initiative, and I wouldn't mind saying that the stuff is lovely, you know.
Yeah, well, it's actually those ones you buy online through, if you go to sanctuaryrunners.ie, Tony, you can get those hoodies. Basically, they all the proceeds. So after the production costs and delivery or whatever, everything else goes to the Sanctuary Runners. And that will help us then in terms of building more groups in Ireland and across the country. So I know they've been amazing, really made it very easy for us, you know. And they've been selling like hotcakes, so it's fantastic.
And you're running another initiative in the run up to Christmas now, I believe.
Yeah. As you said, Tony, my problem and Martin is I get an idea and I can't kind of just leave it there and say I'll come back to it. So I end up juggling loads of things at the same time. So at the start of the pandemic, my wife's a GP. And at the start of the pandemic, we looked around and we saw that there wasn't really video messaging for people for whom English wasn't their first language on COVID-19. It was great stuff in English and Irish, but, you know, very little for other languages. So we started a voluntary service for a year where we'd have doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals from other countries delivering scripted video messaging for migrants in Ireland, like about COVID restrictions, guidelines. So every time it was updated, the restrictions, you remember, used to do like 40 new videos in 40 languages and try to disperse them as best we could. And then earlier this year, we created a thing called Translate Ireland off the back of that. And now we're doing lots more like public health messaging in different languages and all of that. So that's all good. But I think we need to do a lot more if we want to reach people, not necessarily to say get vaccinated, but rather to say, here's the accurate information on COVID-19. You can decide what you want to do, but
Were you surprised, Graham, that there is so little outreach to people who aren't, who Irish isn't a first language or English isn't a first language?
At the start, I was surprised, Martin, but I'm more surprised that still by now there's so little. You know, there's a point at which you go, okay, I don't know what I don't know. I need to find out. But yeah, that hasn't really happened. So I started something now called the COVID-19 Info for All. And it's just like working with a lot of groups that work with migrants and NGOs and whatever to say, okay, let's ask, what should we do? So it might be, you know, it might be something as simple as anywhere there's an antigen test being sold, you have a poster in English, Lithuanian and Polish just saying, take this when you're asymptomatic, not when you're symptomatic. Something so simple, you know, or working with employers or working with, you know, church groups or whatever. Just thinking, okay, where do I need to get the information? Because that hasn't happened. Mainly, Martin, because the people, and I'm clearly one of them, but the people tasked with finding out the solutions are all Irish, all white, mainly all middle class. We all have the same experiences. So we don't know what we don't know. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been pointed out by several doctors and nurses and people who we've spoken to over the course of the pandemic. I'm reminded of Mo Kamal, who campaigned tirelessly, yes, for the, you know, frontline workers and for, you know, for some of the stuff that's going on about residential status and letting them train, get access to things. And he pointed out that he looks around and most of his colleagues, a large majority, well, sorry, that's probably, if I do the sums, it's probably a very large minority, you know, are people of color, people of minority communities, but they never are the people who are sitting around the table making decisions, or they're never even the spokespeople, which is also really...
You never see them on 6-1, or you never, ever, I mean, you could go through like the INMO, the all the different groups.
We'd one famously where we had a Julia was on Martin Marchenyek. She'd yes. brilliant, fabulous yeah. spokesperson for but she was told when RTE went to her a few hours before she came on with us, they said, "Can you get us someone else? Because we can't understand her accent." And you know, like as my daughter would say, "That's a you problem, not a me problem." You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah. Very well put. Yeah, and I mean that's part of what we're doing, right? So you kind of think, okay, he's on about getting this information to people about COVID. It's much wider than that. Like, we're doing video messages with Women's Aid about domestic abuse and the services available for migrant women that may not be aware that's there. Next year, we'll be doing stuff with the Department of Justice on the regularization of undocumented. And so we play a role in it, but I want all of this to get people to open people up to the fact that their communication should be a basic human right. And we're a first world country, more or less, whatever. We should be able to do this. I mean, why? There's 200 nationalities in Ireland. Why is everything in English and Irish only? It makes no sense.
As we spoke to Jana during the week, and she has 200 languages in one classroom, Tony.
It's 24 languages in her classroom.
That's
said,
right.
Yeah. Because some of the kids would have two or three languages. You know, and it's just phenomenal. And she's in a school in not too far out the road from us here, you know. So
but even education is really important, because the impact to a young kid or a student, whatever, of mom and dad not properly getting what's going on in the classroom or what's required of them could have a real negative impact. You know, this is what teachers tell us. Or we're doing a bit of survey work at the moment, and it's incredible. Of 100% of GPs that we've surveyed, about 75% have said that there's been a negative impact to the health outcome of a patient on the basis of poor communication between the GP and the patient. That's nuts. Like, that's not acceptable, you know. But anyway, but so as well as being a good thing for the person who doesn't speak English, it's also really important for our country that our services work well. So if you're spending hours getting nowhere with somebody because they don't understand you and you don't understand them, surely a solution is what's needed there.
Graham, you have some specific stuff coming up over the Christmas. Tell us what's going on.
So this was an idea of a few others in the Sanctuary Runners, and it's a really good one, that because we can't come together to run, we're doing a virtual run from Cork to the North Pole to Santa. And we're delivering a Sanctuary Runner top to him. Now, last year, I don't know if you remember, lads, but last year we did a run through Africa. We started off in South Africa and we ended up in Tripoli. Mm. And every day we'd gather all the kilometers that people contacted us to say they'd run or walked or jogged. Like, we had schools in Chad and schools in Drogheda and all choirs and, everybody taking part. And we managed to get up to Tripoli. And every day, Claire Lamb, the former Olympic rower, would give us an update every morning. But she'd do it as if we were there, you know. She said, like, the weather's hot today, guys. Be careful. Humidity's supposed to reach 80 degrees, blah, blah, blah. And we're going to do the same all the way up, you know, starting in Ireland, over to the UK, over to Holland, up to Denmark, over to Sweden. I don't know if we dip into Finland, but then over to Norway, up to the North Pole, and we hope to reach the North Pole by Christmas Eve to give Santa his Sanctuary Runner top.
That's excellent. That's excellent.
No,
wow.
No, there's no fundraising or anything.
No, it's 5,628 kilometers, Graham. So I can't believe you're even taking time to talk to us. Would you not just get out?
I'd be doing the majority of that, obviously, Tony, around the back garden. They're great crack, because people really get into it, you know. Like, yeah. Oh, Jesus, we ran this far today, and where are we now? And then when you get somewhere, you tell them about the town and the place and maybe some local delicacies or the local football team. Or there's a bit of crack, you know. And there's no fundraising or anything like that. The only thing we're asking people to do is, if they have the blue top, to put it on and run a few K, or if they don't, to run a few K anyway. And hopefully we'll reach North Pole in time.
The details will be on this pod, guys. We'll tag to it there. But it's an excellent initiative. And again, I think you're right though. It is about a bit of fun, even in these times. It's nice to see that sort of stuff, and it creates a sense of solidarity. When we probably need it more than ever. I'm gonna go because I know we're conscious of time, but you're doing another thing and you're launching another thing next year. Is it one town, one voice? I hear you're launching.
Yeah, I mean, I have the support of a trust in Cork for this one that I've done a lot of work with Tony. And my hope is that, look, if something's a good idea, and I hope that something like this is, that I can set it up and we'll get somebody to run it, and then I don't have to run it, you know, but I can dip in, dip out. But I think there's a great will in Ireland to bring people together, regardless of your nationality or first language, but people don't know the way. And there is no national structure either. We hear about national integration plan, but on the ground, they have very little impact. So this is basically a community singing initiative. We had a big international choir in Fermoy, where I'm living now, 25 different nationalities, 100 people in it, insane crack. The singing was one part of it. The socializing was superb. I mean, it was hilarious. I mean, so many great nights, so much came out of it. About two bands were created out of it from people that would never have met each other before, but actually were going, oh, you play that and I play this and you can sing, let's go for it. So basically this one, yeah, it's called One Town, One Voice. And in 2022, when COVID allows, we'll be working with a few towns across the country to organize in those towns a community singing group. We'll be helping out with a little bit of funding at the start to get them set up, to cover some costs. We'll have a toolkit. So it's secular. And so therefore, you need to think about, okay, what song should we be singing? And how would you approach this? And how can we get the most out of this? How can we bring a Muslim person and a Buddhist person and an Irish person and you know, somebody from another background entirely together and all be joined together singing on this one thing? So, yeah, we're hoping to get a few towns to start off with next year and then more in the second half of 2022. And the big aim then is we'll keep doing this. And in 2023, we'd have a huge festival in the town where I live in Fermoy. And we get all these groups to come together and just go for it, you know.
We're absolutely blown away by the amount of stuff you're doing, Graham. You're a very productive person. And when you get a chance and you're up in Dublin, we have to insist that you go for a jog with Tony and a bowl of coddle afterwards, just to get the feel of the place. We are very impressed with you, Graham. Always have been very impressed.
And Martin, and after that, I can go singing with you, huh?
Yes. He's got to show you the hidden talents.
I'm so antisocial, Graham. You have no idea. Look, thank you so much for coming on and having this chat with us this morning. It's great to hear somebody doing so much positive things. It really is.
It's a lovely uplifting message for us, folks. A lot coming out, I know, this week, but do bear in mind it is the time of year where people put their hands in their pockets and get involved in things. So if you see the hoodies and you want to buy them, the link is in the bio. And if you're also thinking that, you know, you might enjoy something like that, there's an email address to log your kilometers and help them get to the North Pole. Graham, thanks very much for all you do, and we will talk to you all very, very soon. Take care. Bye bye.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.